on the Brooklyn Tabernacle. I love their ministry and the things that God is doing through their life. I posted this on my Facebook page, so some of you have probably seen it, but I've watched it many times. And I want this to be the heart of our church. I want this to be the heart of my ministry. I want to see God bring, you know, Jesus came into this earth and he did not go to those that were healthy, but he went to those that were sick. And he went to the unrighteous, and he went to the bound, and he went to the bruised, and he went to the rejected, and he went to the outcast. And he went to heal them, and he went to deliver them, and he went to save them. And his arms are stretched wide, and he told us, you know, there was a great feast that a man was going to give, and he sent out invitations to all of his friends, and when the time came for that feast, they were all too busy. They all had excuses why they couldn't come. And so the man that was holding the feast said to his servants, I want you to go out into the highways, the alleyways, the byways, where those that are not loved, those that are rejected, those that are lost, those that have nothing and nobody, I want you to go to them and I want you to bring them to my feast. And I believe that's the heart of the Lord. It doesn't matter if they're rich or if they're poor. It doesn't matter if they're educated or they're uneducated. Jesus wants all men to come. All men to come. Sometimes it's easy for us, very easy for us to pour our compassion upon somebody that is obviously in distress. They're obviously in distress, like Pastor Simla is going to talk about in just a moment. And because we're able to easily pour our compassions out upon somebody that's easily distressed, if we're not careful, we may not recognize the distress that somebody is hiding, that's sitting right next to us, or that's working next to us, or that's in school next to us. This is an oppressive world, and Jesus Christ is the Savior and the Deliverer. And I just desire, as he's going to share, and I'm going to just be quiet now and let you, would you dim the lights a little bit and just play this?
I had a crisis event happen to me in our previous facility on an Easter Sunday when I
turn it up,
preached
please.
For the third time that day, was bone tired. Bone tired. Poured out myself. The singers, choir had done a cantata and people had come to Christ. And I prayed, and I got through with the meeting. The other building had a platform with no steps. So it was my habit to just sit like this and let my feet dangle down on the edge of the platform. And I was like, right, it was just about this same angle with the middle aisle. And I'm just saying, so tired. I remember taking my knot on my tie and loosening it and saying, you know what, I'm just going to chill. And Carol was playing just like Jamal's playing now, exactly. People praying, workers, deacons helping. And I was tired. I want to go home. I hadn't eaten all day. And then I look, and around the 5th row, there's a guy in the aisle around level with the fifth row. He's had a cap, filthy cap, but he had it in his hand. And he was staring at me and looking at me. And I could tell by his eyes, like he wanted to know, could he come up here and talk to me? And I just looked at him a little closer. Man, the guy was disheveled, filthy looking, matted hair, a mess. He looked in his 50s. He actually was 31. And I just looked at him. And I thought, because Everton, Tulia, they remember back in that building, we had a lot of people panhandling in the church. They would come in and ask for money, and we had procedures of what to do when people ask for money. So we don't want to build their habit and hand them money. They'll just go out and drink it. And I thought to myself, what a bummer, because I'm going to have to give money. I'm not even going to go through the procedures. I'm going to just give this guy some money. I had no wallet then. I had a money clip. So I waved him up and he came So I'm here. He got to about 5-6 feet away from me. Whoa, 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 whoa. Smell? No, a smell? You think you smell something? I'll match that smell with anything you've ever smelled in your life. A mixture of feces, urine, sweat, street, and alcohol. Stir gently and let it cook for a while, and that's what I smell. Nasty. I looked away to inhale, and I started to question, what's your name, David? Okay, I'm a minister. Let me go through at least the procedures here. So, man, you look bad. I didn't know he was laying in his own urine right outside the side door on Park Place in that building. And he heard the music, and it drew him in. He was just sprawled, laying out there. So he's there. Oh, Lord. Where'd you sleep last night? Deserted truck. How come you're not in a shelter? Too dangerous. Almost got killed last one I was in. Okay. Man, this guy smells bad. Missing one or two teeth. At least one right in the front. Let me give him $5, something. Not the way I wanted to end the day, but, you know, what can you do? Took out the money. I remember handing it. Pushed it down. Said, I don't want your money. I want this Jesus you are talking about. And at that moment, I forgot all about David, because I knew who was really in need of prayer. It was Jim Cimbala. It wasn't David. So I forgot him. I lifted my hands, like I'm going to ask you to do in a moment. And I just said, God, please forgive me. What have I become? What kind of cheap two-bit preacher have I become? You sent somebody who's searching for you, and I want to give them a few dollars and get rid of them. Please help me. And God, that moment, baptized me with a love, with something, with grace. He saw how pitiful I was. And David knew it. And he drew close to me. And I started to cry. And he started to cry. And then he fell against me. And he put his head over here. And I put my arms around him. And he put his arms around me. And for a while, we just rocked back and forth. A preacher in need of God. A guy from the street in need of God. I'm not sure who was needier. Might have been me. You know what God spoke to me that moment? And this is not trendy at all. Those of you who want to go to like church growth institutes, this is not what this church is about. God spoke to me and said, you see that smell? If you don't love that smell, I can never use you. Because the whole world smells that way to me. All the stinking, filthy sin of mankind. I sent my son to die for that smell. So you're either going to embrace it and love people in my name, or I can't use you. I'll put you on the shelf. And if God is my witness, you can believe it or not. Suddenly, that smell became like the most beautiful lady's perfume you ever smelled in your life. It was just overwhelming. He was weeping. I was weeping. I led him to Christ. We prayed. We detoxed him for 4 or 5 days. Hired him on church staff, housekeeping. He spent Thanksgiving and Christmas at my house that year. My buddy got his teeth fixed, handsome guy. For that Christmas, all he had, he gave me a handkerchief. He wrapped it up in wrapping paper, gave me a white handkerchief. I kept it for years. It meant more to me than anything anyone could give me. You could have bought me a car. I would have said, keep your car. Give me that handkerchief. And what broke him and what broke me is God's love. Brothers and sisters, let's walk in love this year. Let's think about other people. Let's love other people. If they're different than us, think different than us, look different than us, smell different than us. I didn't grow up around that smell. I was blessed, fortunate, middle-class Polish, Ukrainian, middle-class home. That wasn't my world. But it's God's world. And he wants to use all of us.
Amen. 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 I want you to turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. And you know, I've been through many experiences in my life. And I remember probably maybe 13 years ago, 14 years ago, I went through a very tough event in this church. And I remember my heart was becoming so hardened and so calloused. And, you know, I just said, you know, being a pastor just hurts too much. I'm just going to do the job. I'm just not going to expose my heart to this anymore. And I'm just not going to expose it to that vulnerability. And the Lord, just something similar to what he said, but the Lord said it to me. And he said, if that's the way it's going to be, then I'm through with you. You won't be a pastor anymore. Because you have to be willing to be sacrificed, to be offered, to go through what my son has gone through. He has to be expressed through your life. And I had no power for my heart and for my life or my pain. I just fell before the Lord and I said, God, please, I don't want you to be through with me. Whatever you have to do in my life, I just want you to do it. I want you to make my heart like your heart. I want to be broken. I don't want to be hard. And my nature is to be very hard, be very calloused. And the Lord really, really helped me. And I appreciate this video. It means a lot to me because not long after that moment of prayer with God and he was dealing with my heart, Jeff and I were in the Dominican Republic. And I was preaching at a conference there. There was about 30,000 people who were in attendance. And there was a man walking through. He'd somehow gotten through these barriers where the politicians and the officials were sitting. And he somehow got through that. And he was carrying his son who was extremely crippled. And people were just giving him money. And I was sitting there by Jeff. And I was about to go up and preach in just a moment. I don't know how long, but it wasn't going to be long before I was to go up there and preach. And he's just making his way through the crowd. And I see this man's approaching us without even thinking. I already had money in my hand to give him. And before he got to me, God said to me, is that what I've become to you? Is that what this has become? And I was devastated. I was so devastated by that. The man passed by us. He went off into the crowd. Don't know where he went, carrying his son. And I gave Jeff, who was sitting by me, I said, if I'm not back, you preach. I can't. I said, I'm so convicted by what God has done and what he just said to me. I'm about to go up there and talk about how great God is, how awesome God is. And I'm putting money on a problem rather than believing God to heal somebody and showing what I believe about my God, you know. And so I ran off into the crowd, 30,000 people, and I'm looking for this man. I couldn't find him anywhere. I repented. I asked the Lord to forgive me for my just faithlessness and everything else. And the Lord comforted me, and I was able to go and minister. And after I ministered, I begged for that man to come back. so that we could pray for him. He was the first one down there with his son. We were able to pray for a miracle in his son's life. I don't want to just become a routine minister. I do not want us to become a routine church. I want us to be very real before God. I want us to be very real with each other. I want us to be a place where the Holy Spirit has the liberty and the freedom to move in a way that He glorifies Jesus Christ in our midst. I have a great passion in my heart for Jesus. I have a great passion in my heart to be everything that He would want me to be and us to be as a church. I got a long way to go. I've got a long way to go. I'm going to talk to you about some things today. I do not talk to you about these things because I've arrived. But I am with all of my might, like the Apostle Paul. I am trying to apprehend that for which I've been apprehended. I'm trying to attain to that that has been laid out before me. I'm not perfected. I'm not perfect yet. But I'm reaching forth to the things that are before me. And I'm forgetting the things that are behind me. And so I just want to bring this to you because every year I come before us as a church and deal with some issues that I think are extremely important for us as a church to be reminded of and to build up our faith in. And what I want to talk about this morning is a fellowship of love. I don't apologize about love. I don't, when it concerns the love of God, I believe that the love of God is one of the, I believe it is the demonstration of Christian maturity. I believe a person that is developed in their life to be a person that demonstrates and manifests the love of God in their life is a person that is ruled by the Spirit of God. Because the love of God and the fruit of the Spirit being love, which has these characteristics, are its joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, meekness, long-suffering, temperance. Against such there is no law. There's no law against love. Love is not going to take advantage of its neighbor. Love is not going to lie against one another. Love is not going to commit adultery against each other. Love is not going to have false gods and idols in its life because it loves God with all of its heart. And it loves God with all of its soul. And he loves God with all of his might and his power because he loves God. I believe when a church is in love with God, when a church is in love with one another, there's going to be such an expression of Jesus Christ that the whole world will know that we're his disciples. Jesus said, "By this will all men know that you are my disciples, by your love for one another." I believe love is the most courageous thing that ever walked upon this earth because I believe it was completely demonstrated through Jesus Christ. And where Pharisees and religious leaders were so afraid to be associated with the scum of the earth, wherever you looked there, you'd find Jesus with the scum of the earth, ministering to those that were sick, giving opportunities of hope to prostitutes, delivering people that were diseased in their bodies, that religious people and clean people and holy people did not want to be around. I believe if Jesus Christ were living freely in this church, he would not just associate with those that among us that are the refined and the upper echelon, but I believe he would be hunting down those in this church that others are rejecting and others are casting out and others put no faith in. And Jesus would be ministering to them to give them hope. Jesus would be ministering to them to let them know what he can do with their life, what God wants to do with their life, to deliver the sinner, to deliver the oppressed. I desire that with all of my heart. I want to be that kind of person. I want to be that kind of man, and I'm so far from it. I'm so far from it. I don't say that in an act of humility. I say that with all of the sincerity that I can possibly say. I want to be in love with God and in love with you so that Jesus Christ is able to freely be and work in my life. I desire that. I believe that without love, as Peter says in his epistle, add to your faith virtue, virtue, knowledge, knowledge, temperance, temperance, godliness, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. You don't add anything to love because love is the perfection of the saint. And I believe in our Christian growth and our Christian maturity, if we just grow in these attributes or these virtues, if we grow from faith, faith to knowledge, knowledge to virtue, virtue to temperament, whatever it may be, if we stop anywhere along the line, then we would just simply become, in many ways, Pharisaical in our demeanor. Pharisaical in our, because we know so much. We know so much of the Bible. We know so much of a virtuous life. We know so much about godly behavior. And that can be very destructive in the house of God if every one of us is not committed to coming to that final place of love. Now, being consumed with the love of God, that everything we do, everything we teach, every way we act is out of love. I'm amazed what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13 of what can be done without love. I'm amazed by that. You can be baptized in the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues and speak in the tongues of angels even and not have love. You can give your body to be burned and not have love. That's amazing to me. If you were to tell me that, if it wasn't in the Bible and you came and told me that, you can give your body to be burned and not have love. I said, no way. I mean, you got to have love to be able to do that. But the Bible says you can do it without love. You can give everything you've got to the poor and not have love. And so there are so many things that could be demonstrated in and through a person's life without love. I want that love in me. I want that love in our church. I want that love to be expressed through our lives to one another and to the lost. It doesn't matter what we profess on the streets or in our workplaces or in our schools if the reality of that is not seen, felt, and manifested among ourselves, that we love one another. How can we say that we love God whom we haven't seen if we don't love the brothers that we see? And so I desire for this baptism in love. I believe with all of my heart, according to Scripture, that when Jesus would come and baptize us in the Holy Ghost in fire, that fire is a demonstration of His love. Romans 5:5 says that the Holy Ghost is to fill our hearts and shed abroad in our hearts the love of God. And I believe that is the baptism of the Spirit in fire. It is a fiery love. It is a consuming love. It constrains you to behavior and action that you would not normally do. It alters the way you feel about things, the way you think about things, and the way you behave about things. The love of God gets in you by the Spirit of God and will not let you go. It is absolutely an amazing thing. I wanted to read in Ephesians chapter 2, if you would read this with me. And I want you to understand that we know that Jesus Christ went to the cross in order that He might reconcile men to God. That there was enmity between man and God because of the sin of man. And Jesus Christ went to the cross in order that He might die for the sins of man, for those that believe on Him. And that in their faith in Jesus Christ, their sins are washed away. They are redeemed from their iniquities and their sins. And Jesus Christ, by His death and His resurrection and His work, is able to take the repentant sinner and reconcile that individual with God. And He did that through His cross. And He did not do it through the works of man or the help of man. He did that because man believes on Him and man trusts in Him. And God, through that grace of the Lord and that faith that He gives to man, that man is reconciled to his God. But I want to say something to you. I want you to see. We're about to read it. Not only did Jesus, which was, I think, the chief objective, not only did Jesus in His death die that we might be reconciled to God, but in His death He died that we might be reconciled to one another. From the very beginning of time, we find in the first family, the first two children born, one was murdered by his brother. And then we find, you know, I read this by Ken Ham last night, and he made this statement, and he was talking with an atheist, and the atheist said, if God exists, and if your God exists, why doesn't your God just step down into this earth and appear to us? And he said, He did, and we crucified Him. What man would do to God, what man has done to one another. There's enmity not only with man and God, there's enmity with man. Why wouldn't there be? Everybody wants to be their own God. Everybody wants to do their own thing. Everybody thinks their way is right. Everybody thinks they're right in their own eyes. But nobody's right but God. Nobody's right but God. God's the only one that's right. And it is the Spirit of Christ in us that alone that is able to bring harmony between people and bring life between people. And so in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, he says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made near by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of two one new man, so making peace. I want to make a comment right here. We're going to come back and read, but I want to say this. The church is to be the habitation of God by the Holy Ghost. And one of the